The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Lord, second hour of the National Intel Report, ladies and gentlemen. And this story includes, thank you, Forbidden Knowledge, for providing this for us. It includes Ben Swan's take on 9/11.
Back to the two big developments I've been telling you about that, of course, mainstream media is completely ignoring, pretending as if none of these things have happened. The first, as I mentioned, is this pretty remarkable resolution calling for a new investigation into 9/11. It was made just a few weeks ago by the Franklin Square and Munson Fire District in New York City. The Board of Fire Commissioners, just weeks ago, unanimously passed a resolution claiming, quote, overwhelming evidence of pre-planted explosives and/or incendiaries, which they say caused the destruction of the three World Trade Center buildings. Here's a clip from that meeting on August 1st of this year.
Whereas the victims of 9/11, their families, the people of New York City, and our nation deserve that every crime related to the attacks of September 11, 2001, be investigated to the fullest, and that every person who was responsible face justice. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Franklin Square and Munson Fire District fully supports a comprehensive federal grand jury investigation and prosecution of every crime related to the attacks of September 11th, 2001, as well as any and all efforts by other government entities to investigate and uncover the full truth surrounding the events of that horrible day.
I'm going to put the resolution to a vote. Commissioner Malloy?
Aye.
Commissioner Lyons?
Aye.
Commissioner Zaragoza?
Aye.
Commissioner Delia?
Aye.
Commissioner Salton?
Aye.
Resolution passed.
Thank you.
So you heard there the call for the new investigation, but what does it actually mean? Well, the Franklin Square and Munson Fire Department, which oversees a volunteer fire department serving a hamlet of about 30,000 residents just outside of Queens, New York, became the first legislative body in the country, the very first, to officially support a new investigation into the events of 9/11. Now, all of this is happening on the backdrop of a brand new study published by the University of Alaska by Dr. Leroy Hulsey. Hulsey has a very accomplished background and has determined that there is only one way for World Trade Center 7, Building 7, to have come down. Just one way. Let's break it down for you right now in this reality check. It has been 18 years since the terror attacks of 9/11. On that day, two towers fell in New York City, right? Well, actually, that's wrong. Three towers fell. The North and South Towers of the World Trade Center, also known as the Twin Towers, and a third building, World Trade Center Building 7. In fact, here is video of Building 7 as it came crashing down that day. 6 years ago, I went to New York to report on a campaign to raise awareness about Building 7. More to the point, to raise awareness that over 3,000 engineers say that building could not have fallen down the way that our government says it did. Well, now today we're going to release to you the results of a $300,000 study conducted by scientists at the University of Alaska. Those PhDs have used computer technology to prove that the way the National Institute of Standards and Technology says that Building 7 came down was not only wrong, it's impossible. Furthermore, they can now say with absolute certainty that there is only one way that building could have come down, and that is for the entire core of support beams to fail at the same time. So how can that happen? I'll show you in this reality check that you won't get anywhere else. Well, before we go further, I want to mention that this reality check is brought to you by the Life app. Every time you use the Life app to make a purchase, not only do you earn rewards and receive cash back, but you can also receive crypto back. It is, in fact, the easiest way to save money on purchases that you are already making every day at hundreds of retailers. But it's also the easiest way to get and to use cryptocurrency. Also, by using the Life app, you directly support Reality Check and the Truth in Media podcast. Sign up at truthinmedia.com/life, where you will be redirected to sign up there. So, it was 6 years ago that I traveled to New York City just before 9/11 to report on claims that were being made by the group Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That claim was on 9/11, the third building that came down that day could only have been taken out through a total failure of support columns. That's what they were saying. Now, we would know this as something called a controlled demolition. Take a look.
And in a controlled demolition, when you have a core and an exterior, and you take the core out, it pulls in the exterior and it comes down.
What happens if you leave half of them? So if it's not a controlled demolition, if you just have a failure of half the columns,
you'd have a partial collapse.
Again, that was 6 years ago, and yet now, on the 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, a new study has just been published, one that took hundreds of thousands of dollars and several years to complete. The groundbreaking Building 7 study, a structural reevaluation of the collapse of World Trade Center 7, was conducted by Dr. Leroy Hulsey, a PhD, as well as two other researchers at the University of Alaska. It is a finite element analysis that uses computer modeling based on the original blueprints for World Trade Center 7 to determine what could and what could not have caused the collapse. The study examines NIST conclusions and finds them to be untenable. So what was the conclusion of NIST, or the National Institute of Standards and Technology? Watch this.
World Trade Center 7 collapsed because of fires fueled by office furnishings. It did not collapse from explosives or from fuel oil fires.
We really have a new kind of progressive collapse that we have discovered here, which is a fire-induced progressive collapse.
So to be clear, despite there being small and isolated fires on just a few floors, the 47-story Building 7 came down symmetrically into its own footprint in just under 7 seconds at 5:20 p.m. on 9/11. The official investigation into the collapse was conducted by NIST. It's an agency under the U.S. Department of Commerce, which concluded that, again, normal office fires were responsible for the failure of the structure, saying that falling debris from World Trade Center's North Tower flew and crashed into Building 7 and then ignited small office and furniture fires throughout several floors of the building. And that those fires burned for so long and so hot they caused thermal expansion and pushed beams off their girders, which led to the collapse of the building. But now, this extensive study by the University of Alaska Fairbanks has proven that the NIST conclusion is actually wrong.
Created a solid model in Atticus of the structural members in the northeast corner of the 13th floor of WTC-7. And a finite element analysis was then performed to replicate the results claimed in the NIST WTC-7 report that girder A2001 was pushed or rocked off its seats at columns 44 and 79 to initiate the collapse of the building. And it's not possible for it to move the girder web beyond the seat claimed by NIST. They're saying it got shoved off and fell down. The fact of the matter is they didn't have the side plates on it. They weren't there in their model. So they wouldn't have found that.
The executive summary of the UAF study finds that, quote, fires could not have caused weakening or displacement of structural members capable of initiating any of the hypothetical local failures alleged to have triggered the total collapse of the building. Nor could any local failures, even if they had occurred, have triggered a sequence of failures that would have resulted in the observed total collapse. Well, this leads Dr. Holsey and his colleagues to this, quote, "It is our conclusion, based upon these findings, that the collapse of World Trade Center 7 was a global failure involving the near simultaneous failure of all columns in the building and not a progressive collapse involving the sequential failure of columns throughout the building." Well, that failure of columns would mean that nearly all of the columns in the base of the building would have to have been taken out simultaneously. Remember, this is a building that on 9/11 was never hit by a plane. It simply collapsed. What's more, Dr. Holsey's conclusion does match a theory that has long been promoted by so-called 9/11 truthers, that explosives were actually used to bring down Building 7. So what you need to know is that in the history of fully completed and standing skyscrapers, there has never been a high-rise building that has collapsed from fire. It had never happened until NIST claimed that it happened at World Trade Center 7. What you need to know is that it took Dr. Holsey and his team more than 4 years to publish this study, which again used finite element computer simulations and high-tech computer modeling. And what they found was that despite the claims made by NIST, fire could not have brought down World Trade Center 7. The only reason NIST came to that conclusion was because they used wrong information to create their hypothesis.
Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that feeling.
Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
And what you need to know is that the models that Dr. Holsey used demonstrate that there is only one way the World Trade Center 7 could have fallen the way it did. The only way is the failure of every column at nearly the same time.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion.
That's a reality check. Let's talk about it on social media, if we still can. So the question now is, where do we go from here? The report is finished, and the public comment on that report will be open until November 1st of this year, 2019. But this week also kicks off a tour of Dr. Holsey speaking about his findings in the study. There will also be events with the New York City Fire Commissioners who will be discussing their unanimous resolution. So joining me now to talk about all of these developments, 18 years after 9/11, is Richard Gage. He is the president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And before we go to Richard, a shout out to our sponsor for this segment, Pulse Cellular. You can support the Truth in Media podcast by purchasing one of Pulse's no contract, no credit check plans, which include, by the way, unlimited talk, text, and 50 gigs of high-speed data, plus unlimited hotspot and zero-rated data usage on streaming apps. Get an additional 10% off your bill every month by signing up at truthinmedia.com/phone, and be sure to use the code TRUTH. So, Richard, obviously, you know, you guys have a lot planned. You have a news conference you're going to be holding at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Tell me a little bit about what you're going to be revealing this year that people have not heard before.
Yeah, this is a very exciting year for us. We're bringing Christopher Gioia and Joseph T. from the Franklin Square Munson Fire District to Washington, D.C., because they're on fire, right? They want to tell the world the truth about what happened on 9/11. Five of these fire commissioners from this New York area fire district have voted unanimously for a resolution demanding a new investigation. So they're trying to get all the firefighters worked up about this. So this is the subject of the National Press Club press conference. So they will, after that press conference, go with us to walk the halls of Congress. We have about a dozen, and by September 11th, probably two dozen meetings, many of which are with congressional representatives themselves. So this is very exciting. We've never walked into the halls of Congress with a uniformed fire commissioner or two. And also the husband and wife team, Bob and Helen McIlvain, who lost their son Bobby in the South Tower due to explosions, which is, of course, the whole theme here. We're talking about explosions at the World Trade Center towers, heard and seen and experienced by more than 156 first responders orally on tape talking about that. Of course, none of these explosions are a part of the official record or report by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, for any of these three World Trade Center skyscrapers.
And I know that for years now, you all have been making the case that that is not even possible. Like, there is no legitimate answer being given by NIST for how that building came down. Is that still essentially the synopsis?
Oh, not only that. Yeah. I mean, the evidence shows that this building came down by explosive controlled demolition. Right. Building 7, right. The third tower, that for those who aren't familiar with it, drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint after witnesses hear explosions. So, yes, we've received a lot of information about this building through the Freedom of Information Act. And more interestingly, we've hired the University of Alaska's one of the top forensic structural engineers in the country, Professor Leroy Halsey, the chairperson of the civil engineering department there, to conduct a four-year, $300,000 study. So this is the work that NIST should have done but didn't. Finite element analysis computer modeling that proves that this building could not have come down by fire. So we'll be presenting this at the National Press Club as well. And then guess what? He goes on to tell us exactly how it could have come down. In fact, by God, if you take out all 82 columns on at least 8 floors of this building, it comes down exactly like the videos of the collapse of the building on September 11th at 5:20 in the afternoon. So there's no mystery about this, Ben.
As you said, that this building not only came down as a result of a controlled demolition, but it is completely physically impossible for it to have come down the way that NIST has claimed that it came down.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary report, 128 pages of 4 years of this group's work. They take NIST's very assumptions. Now, these are at least a dozen false and fraudulent assumptions on the part of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, but they take them anyway. And the building still doesn't fall. A local collapse cannot possibly generate a systematic collapse in about 10 seconds through this building, as NIST claims, gutting the inside of it. And then the exterior falls, as we've seen in the videos. Just for those who don't know, Google Building 7 collapse, and you'll see it looks exactly like the old hotels in Las Vegas. And yes, they also take out NIST's faulty assumptions and put in the accurate assumptions. And, of course, the building is even more sturdy. So in order to get this building to fall, they have to systematically, simultaneously remove all the core columns and a fraction of a second later, the exterior columns at once. Now, the question for our viewers is, can fire have this level of precision? Absolutely not.
Let me ask you this. In the study, is there anything that indicates multiple ways the building could have come down, or is it really come down to only one singular way?
Oh, there's only one way that this building could be taken down in the computer model, and that's exactly how it was taken down in reality. All those columns have to be removed at once. Any other scenario could not duplicate by any stretch of the imagination the actual visible failure modes that this building exhibited on the videos. And by the way, fire has never brought down a skyscraper before 9/11. Skyscrapers are fireproofed. They have two and three hour fire protection around the columns and beams in the building. The fire only lasts for 20 or 30 minutes in a given area. So NIST has to claim somehow that the fire in their original report that this fire was going on for an hour and a half to 2 hours immediately prior to these beams thermally expanding, which is the new phenomena that NIST claims brought this building. Thermally expanding beams, which pushed a girder off of its seat on this column 79 under the East Penthouse, causing this vertical collapse all the way from the East Penthouse down. And then somehow, in 6 seconds, this collapse has to travel laterally across this football-sized building, gutting the inside of the building. And then what we see on the video, they tell us, is the exterior of the building collapsing. None of that could be true. It's proven 6 ways from Sunday in this landmark study, computer finite element analysis by the University of Alaska.
Well, that is our report for you today. Thanks for watching. And keep in mind, throughout the program today, you've seen a lot of ads for sponsors. I would encourage you to...
Yeah. When you encourage Ben Swan people to support our advertisers. No, I'm just teasing. Well, by the way, it's very fascinating. We know Ben Swan, where he came from. But it's kind of odd. The person that put this together was not Ben Swan, but somebody else had put it together. And in the bottom of it, it says, Ben Swan was an anchor at CBS 46 in Atlanta when he created a news segment called Reality Check. Now, he created that long before his job at CBS 46 in Atlanta. He'd explore topics like vaccine, autism link, false flag, mass shootings, U.S. role in the development of ISIS, among others that are seen on alternative news websites, but are verboten in mainstream media. It was his segment on Pizzagate that finally got him canned by a major network in 2017. But now he's restarting Reality Check on his own platform. And folks, isn't that strange? Pizzagate kind of tied to who? That's the guy, the mystery guy that killed himself, but it was murdered, but we'll never know because there was no cameras and the guards were asleep. Folks, I'm telling you one thing right now. If I'm any of these creatures that I've got exposure, no pun intended, to pedophiles or anything else, or all this corruption and cover-up in the federal government, and I don't give a damn, they're too numerous to mention. Maybe one of these days somebody will take the time that has a memory, you know, photographic memory, will sit and list all the lies by government. I don't think anybody's ever done that. And these poor people that never forget anything that they hear or see, I wouldn't want to carry that burden around, but it would be really, really helpful for stuff like this, in any rate. I wouldn't want to be one of these people, folks. I honest to God, I know that they need to be investigated. They need to be brought to court. They need to be jailed. They need to be. We get that. They should be. And hopefully one day they will. But look what these people have done with this. For 18 years, they never left go. Never. They didn't get tired of pushing in the face of the mainstream media, all the people who were there to deride them and ridicule them. They never once backed off. Just like us here at this network, ladies and gentlemen, for the existence, the 15th year of this network, and, well, actually two networks, Republic Radio International and then Republic Broadcasting Network. Been doing this stuff, folks, for 27 years. I'm not going to quit. It is going to take, on some people's parts, Herculean effort to continue to do what we're doing until we start to get the desired results, until we get the right people in the right place to start squeezing them in the right places, and then they start talking. And when that day happens, ladies and gentlemen, Katie, bar the door, because there ain't going to be enough jail space left in this country to house all of them. This corruption, ladies and gentlemen, it's just not in Washington, D.C. It's just not our senators and our congressmen. It's just not past presidents. This corruption is systemic throughout our system, in law enforcement, in the federal government, in federal agencies, in your local police department. I've got a brand new video on this lieutenant down here in Austin, Texas, that was caught molesting a minor girl. Well, he was fired before, but they brought him back. We'll cover the story in greater detail, but I want to do this to demonstrate to you how the people, once they get their hands caught in the proverbial cookie jars, they're continually backed. Rather than putting these people out as an example to their fellow officers, not only in their own departments, but to departments all across this country, that you know what? If you're a pervert, if you're a liar, guess what? You're going to suffer the same thing that you're out on the streets of America busting Americans for. You're to be held to a higher standard. And the penalties will be greater for you because you've been given that badge. You have been given a symbol, supposedly, of the public's trust, and you have walked all over it. I'm pissed! How about you? I have had enough! Damn it all to hell. I just... God. Folks, do you understand my frustration sometimes when I see this network right on the verge, we can't pay the bills, whatever else? How important this network really is with real people. You've heard them. These are not professionals, so to speak. These are hardworking, honest Americans that want to see their country back. They're not the paid whore professionals, is what I meant to say. These are all people, just like yourselves, that want to see our republic restored, the public confidence restored. We want to see America stop being the policeman of the world. Policies that are geared toward peace and not war. Hell, we can always butcher somebody at a moment's notice. I think we've demonstrated that. I don't need to go around boasting that we got the most powerful military and we got the best nuclear weapons and we can kill anything. You know what? I don't care. Because that's not the mark of a great country. The mark of a great country is its great people. And now they're dividing those. Poor, uneducated people just whipped up in a frenzy to go slice and dice anything that they can find. These are the poorest people, not only in education, but also monetarily, being used as a pawn on a chessboard. How much time I got to break? 2 minutes? I don't have time to fire this up. When we get back, I will be covering Mr. Colbert's report. He even chimes in on this one. James, what'd I say? Corbett. Who cares? He's not on the network anymore. He's in Japan. That's Stephen Colbert. Okay. All right. Maybe that's a little bit. Okay. Corbett. Okay. Happy? All right. Me too. All right. When we get back from the break, I got a couple more clips to play for you, and I definitely want to cover the Austin PD lieutenant that's getting every break instead of one break that he should be getting. And that's to break something off of his body so he can never use it again against defenseless underage girls. He actually had a smirk. When they booked him in Williamson County Jail, he actually had a smirk on his face. You know, these might be one of the people that think that they're protected by the higher-ups. Well, that's until the higher-ups start getting scared and they start hanging reprobates like this out to dry. The day's coming, folks. Judgment is upon you, and it's going to be brought by the people, not by God. He gave us everything we needed. The rules, the rest is up to us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back. Dave in Illinois.
How you doing?
Good.
What I knew in the calls I got during the month, a few months before 9/11, you'll never get me to believe that they did not know about that happening. My father, he told me that they had special training going on prior to that with some guys in black uniforms with no insignias at all. Mm-hmm. They weren't even allowed to ask them their names, which he said is weird. It's very strange. But he got a call after that where there was five guys that were going around Hoover Dam, and they were actually going in secure areas. They were taking photographs of the structures. He observed them and followed them for a while. He caught three of them. Two got away. And if they weren't doing nothing wrong, why did the others try to take off, and they took off? Well, he detained them and took their cameras. He was called by the director of his department to let them go. He asked them three times, are you sure? He said, no, let them go. And he said, okay, well, at least I'll confiscate their cameras. Give them back. And later on, within that month beforehand, he met up with one of his FBI buddies. He said, they're under surveillance. Now, when that happened, he called me early in the morning. I didn't see it.
Now, are you, Dave, are you suggesting maybe that the Hoover Dam might have been a plausible target rather than the Twin Towers?
That's what he said, because those three guys that he had, he was with them in the detention area. And he said, I bet you those guys were on them planes, or at least those are the people they're trying to say. And when the photographs came out, he said, I knew it. He said, I guess somebody up above realized you just can't build a new dam overnight. You know, but he was happy it happened. He said, told me, the government just has to have things happen. It's just what happens. And he could never get me to understand that. But they got so much power after that. Mm-hmm. They were able to detain anybody they wanted, every vehicle.
Yep.
He was even ordered by his director to take anybody that looked like they were Arab, no reason at all, to lock them up and detain them until otherwise notified.
Well. This stuff always happens. But what we have centered our attention on, that the things that just happen are used to turn this country into a police state. Yeah. All right, David, I appreciate it very much. By the way, I will be calling you.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Sorry. I hope I didn't get you upset. Sorry.
No. You didn't get me upset.
No. Thank you.
I appreciate your call. Thanks. Right. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Yes, hello, John. I don't know if you remember, I told you maybe a month or two ago that the police chief in town here was suspended for kicking a suspect in the head. He was handcuffed behind, his hands were handcuffed behind his back. He was laying on the floor of the police station, and this police chief walked across the room and kicked him in the head. Well, the news in the paper lately was, guess what? He was reinstated, the police chief.
You need those thugs in there, the ones that'll take orders. The ones that are already compromised, you need them in there.
Yep, he was reinstated. It really didn't come as no surprise. But you mentioned the other cop there, so I figured I'd...
I'm going to get around to that. I am trying to parse out the time here because there's stuff I need to get in here before the end of the broadcast. I appreciate...
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to hold you up.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you that. This is the way things go, apparently. Yeah. Okay, John. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Chase.
Bye-bye.
Chance. I'm telling you, the corruption in this country is systemic. In anybody claiming the officialdom. This is James Corbett. a conspiracy theory.
On the morning of September 11, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world using a satellite phone and a laptop directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York. While in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DOD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10th, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening. It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Because
nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes into buildings.
Except the Pentagon, FEMA, NORAD, and the NRO. The DIA destroyed 2.5 terabytes of data on Able Danger, but that's okay because it probably wasn't important. The SEC destroyed their records on the investigation into the insider trading before the attacks, but that's okay because destroying the records of the largest investigation in SEC history is just part of routine record keeping. NIST has classified the data that they used for their model of WTC-7's collapse, but that's okay because knowing how they made their model of the collapse would jeopardize public safety. The FBI has argued that all material related to their investigation of 9/11 should be kept secret from the public, but that's okay because the FBI probably has nothing to hide. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise him, 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 and her. And her, and her, and him. Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, taunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media which told you the hard truths about
his head could be seen to move violently forward.
And
they took the babies out of incubators.
And
mobile production facilities.
And
the rescue of Jessica Lynch.
If you have any questions about this story, you are a batshit, paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater and will be reviled by everyone. If you love your country and or freedom, happiness, rainbows, rock and roll, puppy dogs, apple pie, and your grandma, you will never ever express doubts about any part of this story to anyone. Ever.
But they're telling us, never forget. We're not. We're not. I was watching this morning on the Couch Crew, Fox News, you know, Fox and Friends. It's just warm and cuddly and when there's too much important news, they'll bring in some country performer and set up the stage outside and get a bunch of people out there just clapping and singing. And yeah, yeah. Man, I was watching the expressions of, what's the one character's name? I'll think of it here in a second. But they're talking about 9/11, and he's just kind of like, you can see his eyes roving around the studio. Like, I am not really comfortable sitting here listening to this stuff. I am not comfortable talking about it. Even the news media folks, yes, there are some in the news media that know that 9/11 was an inside job and that there are people trying to bring this to light. And I'm sure that it's part and parcel of their employment. You know, you're not to say the wrong thing about this because you know what? Your contract will be canceled immediately. And that's if it's not egregious enough that somebody has to send in the wet team after you. This Austin Police Department lieutenant, they arrested him. He did his little dirty deed to an underage girl, sexually assaulting her. On a Thursday, by Sunday, he was in Williamson County Jail. Well, he's been released. He's out on bond. And listen, what's happening with the guy? This is KXAN. That's NBC. Austin. if the damn thing will play. Mikey, it's not playing. The video you posted up there is not playing. See if you can get it play from your side, because it ain't playing here. Blame that on Tom. APD lieutenant in Williamson County Jail accused of sexual assault of a child. It's not even there. Well, go to the story. Play it. Back it up. Hit the volume and then back it up. There you go. In the meantime, I've got to cover dead air in here. That's because... All right. You want me to do it? Okay. Just play it and then turn the volume up. You're
just arrested for sexual assault of a child. Could still be allowed to perform some duties within the department.
KXAN's Jacqueline Powell is here with what she's learned about Lieutenant Dustin Lee's arrest. And she also has details on past disciplinary actions against him. Jacqueline.
Robert, Sidney, Dustin Lee is in the Williamson County Jail right now after he was accused of sexually assaulting a girl under the age of 17 in Round Rock last week. And as the Round Rock Police Department leads the investigation, Austin Police will assist, and APD is also launching its own administrative investigation. Lee has been placed on restricted duty. APD tells me that means he's still being paid, and he'll continue to be paid unless he's indicted. I'm told if he bonds out of jail, the department will decide in what capacity he's able to work. But it's important to know restricted duty isn't the same as a suspension. He could still act as a lieutenant. Lee has been with the department for about 23 years now, and this isn't the first time he's been in trouble. This is a memo from 2008. You'll see it here in a sec. He was actually fired from the Austin Police Department back then because he was accused of sexually harassing one of his coworkers, then lying about it in an internal affairs interview. He appealed that, and he agreed to come back to work under a demoted rank. He went from being a sergeant at the time to a detective rank, but in the past 11 years, he's worked his way back up, being promoted to sergeant again, and then most recently to lieutenant. Both APD and Round Rock PD tell us that they won't be giving any more details on the investigation for now. Sydney?
If you can pull that video and post it on the story. Okay. All right. Good enough. All right. Systemic corruption from the top down. And it's not going to quit until the people say, hey, you know what? We've had enough of this. You know, folks, you commit any crime in this country, you're going to get prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Cop does something? Well, he's too important to fail, isn't he? This is a symbol of officialdom. This is our enforcement guys. They couldn't possibly be dirty, could they? All right, let's switch some gears here. We're running out of time. Washington, September 11th, today, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Tuesday that Democrats are engaging in theatrics over gun control legislation, while House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warned that people are dying. Yeah. Why don't you check the inner cities? People are dying every day, and it ain't because of AK-47s or AR-15s. Not the choice of the inner city criminal, don't you know? After a summer of devastating mass shootings, Congress appears no closer to approving legislation to curb gun violence as President Trump wavers on what kind of bill he wants the lawmakers to send for his signatures. Lives are at stake, Pelosi told reporters. visibly shaken by questions asking if the House could have done more. Her response, "Don't ask me what we haven't done. We have done it. If you're annoyed with my impatience, it's because people are dying because Senator McConnell hasn't acted. Why don't you go ask him if he has any regrets for all the people who died because he hasn't acted?"
Yeah.
McConnell refuses to allow a vote on the House-passed bill to expand background checks for gun purchases because he said it's not clear the Senate would be able to pass the legislation or that Trump would sign it. Yeah, but for the Democrats who held press conferences Monday pushing for action on guns, you know, they want them out of our hands before we have to go after them. It's all about trying to scare people, McConnell said. Louisiana State Rep. Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise, isn't that the guy that got shot while he's playing softball in Washington? The number two House Republican took a similar hard line after a meeting of let's talk to the reps that have gotten shot. They don't even want this. Trump wants to work with Congress to solve problems, Scalise said, while Democrats appear intent on being more aggressive in taking away people's guns. Well, 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 well. And let's finish out the program with this. Now, for those of you that keep saying Donald Trump is failing you, by the way, speaking of politics, I guess day after tomorrow is going to be in Houston. The Democrats are going to have their debate. And guess who's going to be there? Who's the guy that was a congressman that was running for Senate and got beat by Cruz? Beto O'Rourke. They've already told him and said, "Look, this isn't a cable. This isn't a cable presentation. This is satellite going out all over the world. So do us a favor, stop dropping F-bombs that you normally do when you're out stumping, waving your hands around." And as one caller corrected me, I said he was gestating. No, he was gesturing. But I don't know. Maybe he is gestating. I don't know what this guy was born from, but he ain't no O'Rourke, and he damn sure ain't no Texan. At any rate, Supreme Court allows broad enforcement of asylum limits. The Supreme Court is allowing nationwide enforcement of a new Trump administration rule that prevents most Central American immigrants from seeking asylum in the United States. The justice's order late today temporarily undoes a lower court ruling that had blocked the new asylum policy in some states along with the southern border. The policy is meant to deny asylum to anybody who passes through another country on the way to the U.S. without seeking protection there. Now, most people crossing the southern border are Central Americans fleeing violence and poverty. Yeah. They are largely ineligible under the new rule, as are asylum seekers from Africa, Asia, South America who arrive regularly at the southern border. The shift reverses decades of U.S. policy. The administration has said that it wants to close the gap between an initial asylum screening that most people pass and a final decision on asylum that most people do not win. Justice Ruth, you could bank on this one. Bader Ginsburg and Sotomayor dissented from the high court's order, quoting, "Once again, the executive branch has issued a rule that seeks to upend long-standing practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution." That's what Sotomayor wrote. The legal challenge to the new policy has a brief but somewhat convoluted history. U.S. District Judge John Tegar in San Francisco blocked the new policy from taking effect in late July. A three-judge panel, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, narrowed Tiger's order so it applied only in Arizona and California states that are within the Ninth Circuit. Big surprise. That left the administration free to enforce the policy on asylum seekers arriving in New Mexico and Texas. Tegar issued a new order on Monday that reimposed a nationwide hold on asylum policy. The Ninth Circuit again narrowed its order on Tuesday. The high court action today allows the administration to oppose the new policy everywhere. Lee Garland, the American Civil Liberty Union lawyer who's representing immigrant advocacy groups in the case, said, "This is just a temporary step, and we're hopeful we'll prevail at the end of the day. The lives of thousands of families are at stake." Civil Liberties Union, card-carrying bastards that you are. Bunch of communists. And I don't say that flippantly, folks. I mean it literally. What about the lives of thousands of families that are affected by the violence and the disease that these creatures are bringing into our country? What about them? You're representing people that aren't even U.S. citizens. What about us? Mr. Garland, what about us? I got an idea. Lee, why don't you pick up your briefcase and why don't you move to Mexico? Because that's where you belong. Any other callers? Okay. See if I can squeeze something quickly here. I had this timed out for a break. I skipped the break, so there you go. Oh, three top John Bolton allies resigned from the Trump administration. I'm loving this. Three top allies of John Bolton resigned from President Donald Trump's administration today, departing the White House a day after the former National Security Advisor left amid disputes with the president over a range of policy issues. Yeah, like more war in the Middle East. Garrett Marquez and Sarah Tinsley, who ran the National Security Council's press operation as senior directors for strategic communications, worked their last day at the White House yesterday, according to two people familiar with their decision who requested anonymity to discuss personal matters. Christine Samuelian, who served as Bolton's personal assistant, also opted to depart the White House, according to one person familiar with the matter. "It was an honor to serve my country, and I wish the president and administration success moving forward," Marquez said today. The departure of Marquez and Tinsley thrust the press operation of the National Security Council, responsible for communicating the White House positions on a range of foreign policy issues, back into uncertain ground. Well, I'm certain of this. John Bolton is gone and the little liars that supported him. That much I'm sure of. White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney sought to ease concerns among members of the NSC staff in a meeting after Bolton's resignation on Tuesday, saying there would be no mass firings. "But with your boss gone and the agenda that you have, you better walk out the door before we throw you out the door." Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for us today. Please, ladies and gentlemen, support this network. Whether you're buying products from our store, making donations, taking advantage of the front site offer that is in ad infinitum membership that can be used by many people over and over again. You don't know what a gift that is. Please, ladies and gentlemen, we need some money into the network to survive. It's almost mid-month and we're flat broke. And the bills, well, they just keep on coming. No pay, no play. Thank you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow to another edition of the National Intel Report.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizens. citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.